tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, welcome into AfterBuzz TV's special Keeping Up with the Kardashians recap show on Monday night this week. We are talking about Bruce parts 1 and 2, Sunday night and Monday night of this week. A very special and important week for us. I'm Bobby DeMuro, Frankie, Nick Sterling across the panel here. Everybody's back. Welcome back from home vacation, wherever the hell you guys were.
Yeah, thank you.
Got a lot to talk about today. Before we jump into it real quick, if you haven't already, hit subscribe on iTunes and or YouTube if you're watching the video or listening to the podcast. Subscribe, you can keep up with us every week and everything else AfterBuzz does. We do literally hundreds of shows throughout the year, so we hope you keep up with us there, just like you keep up with the Kardashians here. All right, guys, let's jump into this today. We're talking about Bruce. We obviously saw the Diane Sawyer special. We spent a lot of time on that special. I was worried at the start that when we came into this episode, this series, this two-part series, that we were going to just get a repetitive thing to the Diane Sawyer special. And walking out of it, I was actually really happy with what we got. I thought it was valuable, and I thought it was a lot different than the Diane Sawyer conversation. Yeah.
I think it was a lot different, and especially just because in that Diane Sawyer special, none of the Kardashians made any comments. They said they'll comment when the time is right for them, and then it was just a couple of weeks ago or after the special that they, you know, had been planning to do this special. So, I mean, and they knew that people would tune in to see what they think about it. So, I mean,
in hindsight, I think it makes sense to them, I guess, in the way they would do things, that they knew they already had their moments because they filmed all of this before that interview, so they knew they've already given their statements. And if they, I think then we would see repetitive things. We had heard all of this on the special then. And it wouldn't mean so much or wouldn't, you know, be as hard-hitting as it was, I guess.
I agree. I think the timing that they did everything was perfect, that the interview, so we kind of get the truth for once and then to kind of delve into the more personal aspect afterwards was a good way to go.
And we debate, and we'll never know this, and we obviously know what people will tell us about this, what they'll tell us about this, but we often debate on this show about how producers are creating stories. Yeah. We don't believe, you know, this stupid story or that stupid story. I never got the feeling today that this was rehearsed, that they had talked with people. Chloe even mentioned on the show, I don't know the terminology to use. I don't mean to offend everybody or anybody. Nothing felt scripted. Nothing felt fake. It almost felt as if the producer said, sit in front of the camera and just tell us what you think. And they did that.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's not about ratings and it's not about the publicity. And I genuinely believe that with this because it is about Bruce. And I think that they're trying to make it as much about him, but also their whole family and how it affects each and every one of them. More so than, you know, how can we get millions of views or whatever.
I think that I wrote it down. Like, this is the most real thing I've seen from any of them and all. I feel like we really saw their real personality shine through. And, like, a little bit, I would be like, okay, that's the classic Chloe. No. And then I'd see something and be like, okay, that's who she really is. And that was nice to see throughout all of this. And it was stunning. It was the way they filmed it. I don't know. Yeah. I felt like it felt totally different. Did it feel like
it felt like
a document?
Or something.
Yeah, it was the B-roll was recolored.
Absolutely,
it was
saturation
awesome.
Was up real high.
All of their the confessionals or interviews had a glow. It was like
it was like when TVs first like transitioned to like
digital from
digital. And then you kind of felt like the background moved, but that's exactly how it was.
I do a show on AfterBuzz called Inside the Documentary on the sister network, Popcorn Talk.
Oh.
You could have made the case to put this on that. You can debate about if their story is relevant, blah, blah, blah. But this was more of a classic documentary style, look into the past, interviewing people, a much more serious thing, a much more unscripted thing. And that has value. And I wish that they would take this. You know, if the family was here, we could tell them, if you could take this, take this idea, not just with this storyline, but take just the real idea. Even if you're doing your everyday life, that's okay. People will still tune in.
Mm-hmm.
But take this idea of just saying what comes to mind and being honest and being true, because this was a hell of a lot more interesting than concocting, right, you know, Chloe does this or Kim does this, which we see too often.
Right. Well, that's what his special is going to be when, if it airs.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
it's, I kept wondering if this is going to be the vibe of the special. Right. Is this a taste of what we're going to be getting? And I hope it is.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably going to be a lot of going to doctor's appointments with him, going shopping or seeing Kim help style him, which was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he seemed, I don't know about you guys, he seemed so, I don't even want to use the word, he did seem happy, but energetic. He seemed like a new person compared to all the episodes that I've ever seen, just kind of in the background. Dude, he seemed bright and like ready to go and energetic, and it was amazing to see.
I mean, well, Chris touched on it, that he was just always angry.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because, you know, if you can't be yourself or if you have something that you're not happy with, you know, you project that. But yeah, I like how he had his, like, and we always watch with captions, so, you know, it said, like, sing-song voice, or, like, you know, it was nice.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway in the show is not, and Bruce even said it at the end, it's not really even about the transgender community. It's not about his transition. It's more about, for him, it was the tolerance towards people, the empathy. But I think even bigger than that, maybe, it's tolerance towards yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not make yourself happy, if you don't find what makes you happy, you cannot be in a relationship, you cannot have friends, you cannot have children in the true sense, in the healthiest sense.
Right. Because and enjoy. You can enjoy that either.
Yeah, you can date somebody, but you can't really get into it unless you are truly comfortable and secure with yourself. And now that he is, you know, as much as he's mended his relationships with his kids over the past years, mm-hmm, and we've talked about that, as much as he's done that, now that he's happy and secure and actually on that path, it seems like, watch those relationships get even stronger. Watch it lift, weight be lifted off his shoulder. I know it's tough for Chris now, but watch their relationship get stronger. Right. Not as a married couple.
Well, he even said it when he said how he told his mother. He said, "Mom, I'm going to tell you something that's actually going to bring us closer." And you can just see that. And he, every time he'd even say, "You know, I'm optimistic about this year. I'm going to come out a better person." And I think to that, I think that's what really he was hitting with a lot of people when he told Chloe that, or when he told Chris that. I think that made sense to them.
Right.
And it's hard, too, because he touched on this a lot in this and also in the Diane Sawyer interview, just saying, you know, I've had secrets my whole life, and now that he is trying to be so open with each and every one of his family members and going to each kid separately and talking about it and seeing how they feel, answering any questions they have. And even though he feels like he is being so open and honest, it's like that natural reaction to, you know, not be all the way open, just because that's how he's used to living.
Right.
You know, like in the shadows, or, you know, struggling with this alone. But now he's learning how to be completely honest with it.
Which was frustrating in the beginning. I don't know about you guys, when they were sitting there and they were like, well, did you already make the appointment? Do you already know you're doing that? And he's saying, well, I don't know. I see it from both sides.
Right.
But from Chloe's side, I'm going to be frustrated too. It's like, if you're being honest and we're turning a page, like, fill me in. Don't tell me in 4 months you're not going to be you or you're going to be her and you've known this the whole time. That's not – but I get it in his perspective, which is, this is new. Just telling them the first part is hard enough. Like, what's he – you know what I mean? I can only imagine that.
Yeah. And there is also that – the whole part of it, this is something that he's had – you know, 65 years or however old he is, to struggle with this. And this has been something that has been so heavy on his heart that he's learning how to make that transition. But also, this is so new to the kids that he does need to be, as a dad, and he will forever and always be their parent, to have that, you know, concern, obviously, and realize that it is so new for them still.
Yeah.
What was the thing about this two-hour special specifically that surprised you guys the most? After seeing Diane, we knew the story. What surprised you on these 2 hours the most?
For me, the hardest part of it was the whole Chris storyline. Mm-hmm. And I watched it last night, and then we just all watched it together. And that was the hardest moment for me, because they're married, or they have a relationship for 25 years. She, you know, she talked about 10 years ago, you shut yourself off. 4 or 5 years ago, you shut yourself off. And he, you know, he just didn't know how to say what was going on, but they got through it. That's a long amount of time to be with someone and go home to them and not feel like they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to feel like you're alone. And I feel like it's something that she's going to struggle with for a really long time.
And something that they never touched on, but I'm curious about, and I feel like has to be an issue on some level, even if they deal with it personally, is Chris's femininity, I guess is the best way to say this, how does she react? You know, does she feel like a woman because this man was she not enough for him and he became a woman? How does she, was this her fault? I mean, it wasn't, but right. I think it'd be natural to think and feel those things on some level. And I think that's another really tough part for Chris, not just saying I have to mourn the death of Bruce, which is eye-opening to me, but the idea of, you know, how much of this blame, you know, not rightfully so, but how much blame does she put on herself? If I had done something different, if I had treated him different, would this have gone differently?
Right.
Sure, at the end of the day, the answer is no. This is what he's been struggling with.
But it's inevitable that you'll have those questions.
Absolutely.
What did Kim say? Kim asked him, she said, Chris, mom didn't tell me to say this, but she was, you know, wondering that, you know, while you were having, you know, sex with her, were you not into it? Were you weirded out by it? And I think that's the stuff that's, would go through your mind with anybody is like, is everything a lie? Is certain things a lie? What is it?
Yeah, yeah. I think for Chris, it's, I mean, if I could imagine myself in that situation, if I had a boyfriend, whoever decided, hey, I'm gay or hey, I'm transgender, it would become about yourself in the most unselfish way possible. Right. It's about yourself. Cause yeah, you'd sit there and be like, do they really love me? Was it just like, were they just using me to cope or pretend until they were comfortable to be with themselves? And I think it would really question you. And, you know, everyone has their insecurities, and you let your significant other or your partner really in on those. That's the way a good relationship works, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So then if you're so vulnerable to them and they turn around and do that to you, you're like, so maybe all these things are real. I'm not a good... You know.
And Chris even said, she said, I feel like this life didn't exist. These past 23 years, 25 years didn't exist. And,
the dream.
And then when he came in at the end and they were having that conversation, he said, you know, these memories are something that will live with me forever. Right. I'll know these, you know, all of these moments and raising our kids and all of this stuff is something that I'll never forget. That's not going anywhere. But I think to her, it's like, was this real? Like, what was happening? And it was sad to hear her say it feels like, you know, that amount. I mean, that's a quarter of a century to be with someone and to feel like it didn't even mean anything. But, I mean, of course it meant something. They have great kids together.
Right.
And they, you know, are going to have a life. Just obviously it's going to be different.
I want to know, do you guys think so we hear him referring to her a lot.
Right.
Everyone refers to her. And I think, and it goes back to the way Chris feels and all of them feel, it seems like there's such a division. Do you know what I mean? Like there's him and there's her, and that when
like
he's her, there's no, that doesn't exist. And I don't know. To me, I think that's what starts to feel like the other part is dying, or like Chris is your mourning and death. If it was just him doing him and you know what I mean? You don't have to say him doesn't have to stand for anything, but just what they classify it under. But when we say her, I think of a whole new person,
which
then makes me erase the other thing.
I agree because, well, you know, you had Scott ask him, are you still going to play golf? Are you still going to do this? And he was like, well, let me worry about figuring a shirt first. And it's almost like he's going to just put those on hold. Or as when they ask, so are you going to date women still? Are you going to be a lesbian technically? Or maybe he's like, I don't know. I'll deal with that when I get there. So I do feel like he you know, he's been living, like, you know, we've said, and he said this whole, his whole entire life somewhere else. So he might not really know.
Right. He might need to explore
really
that. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I agree. It's almost like two separate people.
Yeah.
And until he really finally gets to live his life as her, we don't know how different they're going to be.
Right.
And Bobby, going back to what you said, I think your question, I think another really kind of eye-opening part is how much the girls kind of knew about it. Like, well, early them wanting to cross-dress or whatever.
That's what they said. Chloe said cross-dress.
Yeah, and Kendall, like, running into him in the kitchen and seeing that. And then when they were little, thinking that he was having an affair because they would find makeup. So there were little clues everywhere. And even Chris knowing that he had taken hormones at once in the, you know, one period of time in the 80s. You know, those are all very, like, you know, I feel like not red flags, but like
this,
something's up.
That's
you know?
The
like,
thing.
Hey, why don't we talk about it?
When
it
Chris
was just very
when she said
secretive.
She was like, I had no idea it was more than that. And she kind of acts as if she really didn't know anything. And I don't, I believe that she didn't, that she believed she didn't. But I do feel like there was enough to put something together. Maybe your mind or yourself didn't want to go there or didn't want to explore that. Yeah. But there was enough for anyone outside, or at least me, I would say, I think it might be more. I think it might be something.
And the story of this almost coming out in the 80s and hiring the publicist.
Oh, yeah, that was shocking.
I'm sure she must have heard that story. Whether or not they were together at that point, there's no way she couldn't have known about that. I'd be very surprised. Maybe she didn't, but I'd be very surprised. So to put those pieces together, maybe you don't, especially in the 80s, go all the way to this man's going to transition to a woman because maybe at that point in time...
an experimental...
Yeah, there's no way. You know, no, that would have never crossed your mind. But you would have had to have been more than like, oh, it's just hormones. He just experimented with hormones. Wouldn't it make you say, wait a second. Well, you're taking medicine. You're taking chemicals to do what?
Maybe this is something we should talk about, if anything, you know? Yeah.
But, you know, she said, too, we had issues, and then we talk it out and work it out and go forward. So I feel like, you know, again, if you're putting yourself in her shoe, try not to think, is it something I did or something, you know, and your person tells you, no, it's fine, we're going to get past this, and then you're like, okay, slash denial, like you said, Sterling, so.
Yeah. Were you guys surprised at how Chloe... reacted? I guess we had an inkling of this from the Diane Sawyer thing.
Yeah,
right. He mentioned that.
And seeing it play out, seeing it happen, surprised, expected?
No, I'm not surprised. I think, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't know, this was just me. When Kim was so all in, and she was so supportive, and then she sort of went back and had an emotional breakdown with the girls and stuff, to me, I feel like I knew when she was so supportive. I'm saying, is that really how you feel? Is that honest? Do you, like, it just seemed too much, too perfect. It didn't seem like someone. Chloe, to me, was bringing it all. She wasn't being different back there. And to me, I appreciate that more. I would want that more. I would do that probably more than just be super supportive if later I really am not or questioning it. Or
I think that they, like, I think Chloe's reaction was very true to her, and that wouldn't be Chloe if she didn't do, you know, exactly how she was feeling. And I think how she was feeling is very justified. She's not mad at what's happening.
Right.
She just wants him to be honest with them and to let them fill them in. And I think that was kind of an overarching, you know, theme we kept going back to for both parts of the special, because Chris was just like, just be honest, like, own your truth, just tell us. And I think that's kind of what Chloe was trying to communicate. As far as Kim goes and how she reacted, I feel like whenever there's some sort of family crisis or when it has stuff like that, Kim, surprisingly, is always like, okay, I need to figure out how this is going to affect everyone else.
Yeah.
I feel like she's like, takes on the mother role. She's like, you know, this is really hard on Chris. We need to be appreciative of everything she does. We need to be there for her. She's thinking about Kylie, Kendall, and also thinking about Bruce. Like, I don't want to cry in front of him because I want to be strong for him. So
That's
I thought it
true.
Was very selfless of her to have those moments with Kendall and Kylie and to be like, I'm relating with you on these levels, but also I want to be strong for Bruce.
Well,
and
we
I
saw
want
how
to
much Bruce appreciated that, too. He kept saying that you don't know how much this means to me.
And it speaks to Chloe and Kim's personalities that we've seen every week.
Yeah.
Chloe is, quote-unquote, more real, more, you know, uncensored, more whatever.
Yeah.
And Kim is more almost looking at it through the lens of PR. You know, how does
more
this
calculated
look?
Not in a negative way,
this isn't about ratings, but just the way she is in everything. Remember when they were in Vienna, I think last season, and they had that racist guy who came up, and the guy who was the Kanye impersonator, and the whole time Kim is just like, oh, it's so great to be here, that was just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's so put together
in
every facet of her life, you can't turn that off. That's who she is, and it works in public. And this is how it works in private. So
I guess that's
the way
a really good connection. Even how she reacted when she was cornered by the question, she said, you know, he's the happiest I've ever seen him, and if he wants to address the rumors, he can.
It's kind of like she always has the perfect answer for no matter what.
And she's the perfect
cynical,
PR person, really.
The cynical among us, and I definitely go into this realm a lot, is it's PR, it's PR speak, she knows how to, you know,
that's
the body
why it comes up fake to me sometimes.
Exactly. Right. But at the same time, seeing this show specifically, this episode specifically, this is also kind of who she is. She's just much more put together, and that's not a slight to Chloe. It's not good or bad.
Right.
It's just two different people. Chloe has emotions on her sleeve, and Kim is more, let's tighten it up and let's, you know, put our best foot forward.
Right.
Yeah.
They always say that Kim's more like Chris out of all them, and I think Chris is the same way. Plus, Chris is a PR person.
Right.
And even in the special with Diane Sawyer about Bruce, she revamped Bruce, you know, after
and we can't,
the Olympics.
We can talk about this isn't about ratings, and it's not, but we can't deny that branding and public relations plays a big thing here.
Oh,
they did
absolutely.
It on their show. There's a reason this is happening. You know, Bruce's thing is Bruce's thing.
Right.
But the public, the cameras are there, is a totally different ballgame.
Right.
And we can't deny that this is a very specific and structured look
right
into this situation. Yeah.
In the same way that we say, you know, Bruce has been living like this for his whole life, so he's used to lying and stuff like that. Kind of the same way with the girls. They've grown up in the spotlight. They've lived in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. They're kind of used to acting a certain way, too, just on that yeah. aspect.
Yeah. And going back to Chloe, there's a couple of things that didn't really sit well with me during this, because I obviously were supportive of Bruce and this yeah. you know, transition, but when he pretty much straight up told Chloe, you know, okay. the only people I'm worried about are Kendall and Kylie. And, I mean, for Chloe, yes, it's not her biological father, but he's been there since she was four,
exactly.
walked her down the aisle. This is just as big of a deal for her than it is Kylie and
right, like
Kendall.
She said, I've technically known him longer.
Right, and
if we want to get that.
That is her father. And, I mean, and she's lost her real dad, and we know that that's something that she had a really hard time with when it yeah. happened. And then so that whole part when he said, I'm only really worried about Kendall and Kylie, which I get because they're still in their developmental years and it's really hard on them to one day have a dad and then one day have a Matt or whatever they were saying.
Yeah.
But the part when they all were back on the couch and she started the conversation by saying, I just want to talk about when Kendall and I were here the other day and, you know, we pretty much confronted you about not being completely honest with us. But then she was like, so thanks for calling. Like, as a parent, like, I feel like you should, if your kid leaves crying or is upset about whatever's happening, maybe you should reach out to them and not wait until the cameras are on the next time.
I agree with
later.
That.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what's going on, and I get that it's hard, and I honestly can't even speak to how hard
right.
it is. But at the end of the day, you're still a parent. And we've never, like, thought Bruce was a bad parent.
Right.
But it's like, check in with them. Or be honest with them.
I'll argue the opposite point. I think Bruce's burden is not just figuring out this for himself, but the whole telling the family thing was a big part of this, and it was very difficult to tell every kid. And I wonder, and this is speculation, mm-hmm. but I wonder almost because it's been in him so long and he's so scared to let it out. When he did let it out and Chloe reacted that way, which she was justified. You can definitely make the argument she was
right.
justified. I wonder if Bruce feels like he let her down.
Yeah. Well, know? I agree with that. He kept repeating, you know, I just don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah,
and so maybe
that.
When he realized that she was taking it so not so well as everyone else, that he was like, okay, I'm going to back off. Maybe I won't tell you everything that's going on.
I guess, but I still think, I mean, it could just be and there's a lot of difference between their family and my family, but it's like, you know, if you have a fight with someone, if someone leaves and they're upset, as the parent, you assume they're going to call and try to figure that. You don't just, like, let go, move on, and let things happen. I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe, clearly, they do sometimes.
I feel like when he made that comment about, I'm just only worried about Kendall and Kylie, it was kind of, like you said, he meant it because of their developmental stages.
Yeah.
But I think it was because Chloe kind of attacked him and he kind of just snapped back. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I would do if I was in his shoe.
Right.
I don't know what I would do if I was in Chloe's shoes.
And I think for Bruce, maybe it's you know, having never gone through this myself, I don't know, but I would take a guess that if he's been so angry for so long and struggling for so long, this is that proverbial, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And
right.
if you thought the pre-transition time was tough, this is going to be a lot tougher. The public eye,
mm-hmm.
dealing with it with your family, having these conversations, and maybe that anger bubbles over. And he
right.
says, well, I'm only worried about Kendall and Kylie. He doesn't actually mean that, or at least not the way that it sounds.
Sounded. Right. Yeah, it sounded a lot harsher than I think he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't think that Chloe was... I don't think she ever really, like, attacked him the way he made it seem, especially
yeah,
like
he was
when they
cornered.
Started talking. She was like, I'm so supportive of you. I'm not mad that this is happening.
Yeah.
I'm mad that you're not honest.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very valid concern.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would be pissed if
yeah.
that was going on and that person, I kept finding out other things from even the interview. He didn't tell anybody about the interview.
Do you think, though, that just made me think of something. Do you think, regarding that interview with Diane Sawyer,
yeah.
that Chloe's actions in this two-part special filmed before the interview
yeah.
impacted what he said with Diane Sawyer? Because a lot of his message with Sawyer was, I can't wait to be honest. It's a weight lifted off my shoulders. I just get to be me. This
right.
is who I am. And it seemed so open. We were like, holy crap, he's laying it all out there.
Yes.
This Chloe conversation could have directly impacted
that's
that
interesting.
Say, this is how I have to do
well,
it.
Okay,
I think for sure.
He yeah. even said in the Diane Sawyer interview, if I can speak, interview, he said, you know, and I gave them all the chance to ask me any questions they want. And it's like, yeah, you did, but sort of after they forced it a little bit. And he did, and when he said that, I'm like, wow, that's really great. Like, that's strong. That's everything. But I do think this had a strong impact on that. Absolutely.
I really liked, I don't know about you guys, but my favorite scene in this whole two-hour thing was the mad scene. What do we call you, mom and dad, and a little crazy? So, like, are you going to be a woman? Like, all those questions. I don't know anything. I've never done. Those are questions I would ask.
Those are all questions we talked about when after the Diane Sawyer, about whether or not he'd be a lesbian or whether or not he's going to completely do that.
And I hope, like, I really hope. I don't have any familiarity in the transgender community, none at all. Mm-hmm. So I hope that if there are transgender people who watch this or who watch the About Bruce special, I hope they didn't take offense to that. And if they did, I would love to hear why. I would love to know why that would be offensive if it were. But I hope that the transgender community would understand that people like me or the girls who are ignorant to this at all, we just want to know. Like, I don't know the process.
They were asking exact questions that we all probably had 100%. Running through our head while watching. Yep. Even when she started saying, okay, it's like, is this, once you do your face, like, are then you a girl? Or, like, are you going down? Like, is that when you're, like, when are you a girl?
Yeah.
And I was like, when? I'd love to know. What is
I think it's definitely a learning curve there. And I also think it's a great conversation that it is being had right now. Mm-hmm. And especially on such a show that has a wide range of audience.
And that's something, whether it's American or just families in general, I'm sure, but that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to. Increasingly, the Kardashians are difficult to relate to. They're supposed to be a family like yours, just a little bit different. They're not. You know,
what do you mean?
But this, you know, sitting around on the couches, everybody does it, whether it's Thanksgiving or with your friends, not your blood family, if it's a friend family. Whatever you do, we've all had those moments where you sit around with the people closest to you and talk, or somebody has a life-changing thing and you all get together. We have those powwows, you know, and this, having them do that and see that, I'm like, you know what? I would want that if this happened in my circle. Right. That's what I would want to do. And I would ask questions like, why are you shaving your forehead down? What sense does, why did you do the Adam's apple? Right. Like, do you dress different? Is there a day, like what Courtney asked, is there a day where you're her? Like,
yeah, you marked on your gun.
I don't know. You know, I would love to know all those things. So seeing them do that, I was like, this is the most valuable part.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the only one who would ask these questions.
I agree. Right.
I think to me, I mean, this is kind of sad, but too, he kept talking about the new house that he was moving into, and he sort of just said, once I get in the new house, it's kind of felt like for him that I got, and I want to know if you guys did, that that's sort of like the new life.
That's
the
his new beginning.
And I felt like that's more of his transitional stage. That's what I, did you guys agree with
me? I agree. Just that's like a new phase. He'll say, I'll organize my shoes when I get there. Yes. Like, I'll have my closet and everything, so.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I think you have, it's one thing to have memories inside you, like when he was talking to Chris, because you can't get rid of those and you shouldn't.
Right.
But it's another thing when you're in that house, even though the kids never really lived there and he sort of lived there separate from Chris and whatever, that house still has a specific set of memories. Mm-hmm. And to move away from the places as opposed to the people, to keep the people and remove the places or the things or whatever, I'm okay with that.
Could be beneficial. You know? It's not like you're, like Scott, well, I liked when Scott said, you know, he said, what are you going to do with the media and the net? You know, it's going to get insane. I also liked how honest and upfront Scott was. I thought that he took an amazing perspective and hit a lot of things that I was like, okay, yes. And also, he didn't know when everyone, no one filled Scott in and he didn't have any clue. I was surprised by that. I thought they were all sort of on, you know, knew what the story was.
Right.
Did you find it weird that, and I don't have the exact time for this, but it seemed like Scott was in this significantly more than Courtney?
Do I find it weird?
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't think about it either.
It seemed like she was. Maybe, or it seemed like he was. Maybe he wasn't.
I did see that, but I did feel Courtney wasn't in it a lot, but I didn't compare the two times.
I mean, it feels like Kendall and Kylie, Chloe and Kim, Scott. Mm-hmm. And then Courtney.
I feel like for Scott, I don't know if this is related to how much airtime Courtney had on it, but just because, and they're not related at all, obviously, but because there is something that he struggles with so personally, I feel like his perspective on it is completely different than any of the girls, just because he's like, hey, I know what it's like to like have this secret life, kind of, and also struggle with something internally and not really know how to handle it or how to tell people or how to come to terms with it. And I mean, even though his problems are completely separate from Bruce's, it's like we all have something.
Right.
And it's about owning that truth, being yourself, but also trying to find happiness within that.
And it seemed like when they were sitting there, their banter, their conversation was already so much better than it ever has been in the past. And he acknowledged that. He said, now at least I get it. Like, it makes sense why we've never been able to connect. And I think that's a foreshadow to what's to come with Bruce's relationships and his friendships and things like that.
And I wish to, we talked about this very, very briefly before we went on. I wish that whether it was Scott or Rob, and I respect that maybe Rob didn't want to be on.
Right.
We needed another male perspective.
Yeah.
That was lacking because I really wanted to see not just a stereotypical pick a guy and just stick him in, because I don't think that's what
Scott
was.
Someone in the circle.
But someone in the circle who was male or whatever, who had a different perspective on this. Not necessarily bad, but because, not to be selfish and make this about me, because it's not, but people like me who are watching straight men, not a lot of me represented. And right. I'm looking at that and I'm like, how would I react if I were there? How does Rob react? How does Scott react?
Do you think that is also, like, when he said, like, with Chloe, I think that's a general theme is, oh, so sorry to hit you. It's like they also don't have a strong male.
Yeah.
So he was sort of that figure, and now that's being taken away. And I think that's why it's also kind of hard for them, because now, who is it? Is it Scott? Is that, like, the male figure that they are in their family that knows everything and they go to?
Yeah.
I think that's really a big reason why they were so... why it's harder, I think, you know, to see that go.
And it's not like about, you know, traditional gender roles. Like, it's awesome that this family has women who are just bosses.
Yeah.
I mean, right. That's the best word. Yeah. And that's cool, and it's interesting to watch, and these women are capable in every way. It's not about gender roles. It's more just about that's another perspective that we didn't get to see.
Right.
And you have to respect Rob for not wanting to do this stuff. And with whatever's going on with Rob, who knows how this fits.
Yeah,
on top
I did think about that a few times and what he would be reacting or how he would be feeling. What is?
Who knows?
Has he put out anything?
I was just wondering
When the Diane Sawyer special came out, I think he posted something on Instagram that was just like supportive, obviously. But thinking about what you just said, Bobby, like in hindsight, there never really has been ever any really strong male perspectives on the show. Right. Just because when Bruce, you know, in the past 10 seasons, when he's on it, he's always in the background. Doesn't really have, you know, the most...
And when he does have an opinion or idea, they kind of just push it away.
They just put it in the confessional. It's not really like... Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not really with other people.
And so Lamar and Chris Humphries and absolutely.
Well, and I mean, Kanye's not on the show and I don't know. I feel like the most male we get is Scott and Mason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking too, I mean, he took the hormones after his first two wives, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
So after that, he acquired a family of pretty much all girls. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was funny because it's almost like, you know, when that saying, like, God has a funny sense of humor. Like, he wanted to be a girl in the whole time.
So he put in that environment, yeah.
Girls
the whole
time.
That's like, Kim was like, were you jealous of Mom's closet? Yeah. Like, was that, you know, and he's like, oh, I went through that whole closet. I knew everything in
there.
And
he, like, was stealing their clothes.
Yeah. Like, everything was... She's like, is this my, whatever it was, blush or something? And he's like, no, I don't. Maybe. I did steal that, yeah.
And those are some of the best moments, too, because it doesn't cheapen it. It lightens it.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There was one moment that cheapened it, and I want to talk about it in a second. But before that, these moments about stealing clothes, stealing makeup and stuff, it shows Bruce happy. It shows him light, not a care in the world sort of stuff. And B, it just, again, if you go back to a family that deals with this not on television, it's not all going to be tears. There's going to be jokes. There's going to be light moments. There's going to be, you know, recovering and moving forward and stuff. So it's good to see that with them to say, hey, this is a 2-hour thing. This is serious. We'll sit down and talk about it. But it's not a tragedy.
But it's not the end of the world.
Exactly. Like,
I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here.
And he kind of had to keep saying that because a lot of people were comparing. And even I wish we had it, the exact words of what they started off both shows with, the words on the screen. And it also said, you know, these are a select few moments. Like, this isn't the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. And at times it's quick for me. I forget, like, okay, there's a camera in that room and they're all aware of that. This isn't just like them. There might be a whole nother side that we're missing. And I'm sure there is in the conversation. But yeah, it's good to keep that in mind, that these are just the select moments that we're
getting. Those words were something like, it's normal to, or families need to grieve the loss of the person they thought they knew. And I thought that was a really important point because it's not going to be the same. They haven't even met her version. They don't. Yeah. And he says that she's different. She's more fun. She's more this or that, whatever it is. So it's not exactly the same. And it is a change, but he's still the root of it, the soul of it. He's still there.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, he's not going anywhere.
One moment I had kind of a problem with, and I don't know why, and I don't know if I can articulate it the right way, but it's in that important conversation with Chris. And they have that serious, serious conversation. And then at the end, after, you know, hugging, and she's crying, and he's crying, and all this is going on, he's walking away, and he's joking around, and he's like, love you, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what made me shake my head at that, and I feel like we might disagree about that, but... something about that to me cheapened that moment.
Right.
It wasn't fun and light. It was like he almost was so glad to be done with the conversation. He had to make light again. Oh, it's not a problem. I don't know. I don't even know how to talk about it correctly. Something about that felt wrong to me.
I'll say this, because we do disagree on this point. Okay. But I completely see how you feel that and how you got that. I think as a viewer watching a TV show, I would have rather it gone another way and faded out with that dramatic moment. As a viewer being a real person, in any, like you said, in any awkward conversation you're going to have, it's always that break of like, okay, I got to like get up now, go walk out the door, say goodbye, and like, where's the transition?
I mean,
like,
it's an awkward moment. Yeah. I don't know how to handle it. It's kind of like when people laugh when they hear bad news or whatever, just like a natural reaction. And I do think that Bruce has always been someone on the show for the past however many years it's been on that's been that optimistic, you know, he's kind of this, let's be real about this, everything's going
to
be fine.
He'd always cut the
like,
BS.
He's like the least dramatic person on the show. Mm-hmm. And so for him to be in this position where he's having to confront people and bring that kind of element of drama, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's pat it out and know our best friends. And he said in his interview that, you know, he wants to just live his life the way he's always wanted to, but do it with a sense of humor. And I think that was a really great point. Not that that moment with Chris was probably the best time to give her a high five and like laugh about it.
Yeah, it was awkward and it was weird. I'm not like, it was weird.
But she's sitting there crying and there's really not anything else to be said. And I think it was just one of those awkward, like natural reactions. I don't think he had any bad intentions with doing that. I just don't think he knew how to react.
I just think it comes down. He talks about tolerance for all people, which is really empathy, which we all need to get behind.
Right.
But part of that empathy is, he might also need to understand a little better what she's going through in that realm. Yeah. He's been doing this for 60 years, and that's a tough-ass 60 years. She's been doing this for 60 days. And we can debate about whether she knew with the hormones and all that. But really, she's been doing this for a fraction of the time he has. And so she's there in tears, broken down, literally grieving the death of her husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was hot,
and he's like, "Hey, high five! It's gonna be okay."
I agree. It didn't sit well. That's for sure. Yeah. So
I partly agree with you, Bobby, in the fact that I think while Chloe took it the hardest, I think for him, Chris would be the hardest to explain this to. And I think he did even say Chris is one of the hardest people to talk to because he was intimate with her for 25 years. It's not where you're a parent because you can be a parent. You could be a mom and a dad. Parents go both ways, but being a partner is something intimate and something that is usually just, you know, one-sided card. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When she said, it's hardest for you to tell me because you've lied to me the longest, that was really hard to watch. Yeah. Just her be like, you know, yes, it's really great of you as a father to go and tell each one of our kids, you know, and be there for them and answer their questions and stuff. But she has been on the outside. He hasn't really, you know, had that conversation with her. And he's been, you know, not necessarily the most honest through the process or open about it.
He also, he kept saying that it's easy, it's so much easier to tell people that you don't know that well. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he was like, it's easier to tell people that, you know, are outside the situation because you're not worried about hurting them.
Right.
It's like the people closest to you that you're worried about hurting.
And just take the eye test for yourself, I guess. I'm just thinking about now when we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. If a parent came to me and dropped this bomb, I'd take it much better than if a significant other did.
Right.
Yeah. Because of that same reason. The significant other is a reflection of you. True or not, you make it a reflection of you. And I think most of us, if not all of us, would do that. And if a significant other came to me, if I were in Chris's shoes and my significant other came to make this, I would say, does this affect my masculinity? Was I not?
Yeah, you're going to reflect into yourself, like you were saying earlier.
And if a parent did it, I would react how Kendall did, which was like, and this was heartbreaking, but saying, I just hope nobody messes with you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to get hurt. I'm down with it. Like, I'm there with you. I don't want you to get hurt.
And I think we've seen this whole time, too, in the actual Keeping Up with the Kardashians show, how much it's affected her. And we were briefly talking about it. We were saying maybe partially it's because of Rob, but she said that she cries all the time. Kim said she's heard her cry. And, you know, now we realize how much is going on. So it's like again, kind of the male figures, your first husband passed away, whether they were, you know, married or not at the time. And then someone else who you just spent a long time is leaving and your son is going through a hard time. You kind of like, she must feel like she's A, failing as a parent, and B, failing as a partner.
Right.
It's intense.
We look at Chris a lot as, better or worse, as manager first, mom second sometimes, all the PR stuff. We talk about that a lot on the show. But seeing this now and hearing the stories in little bits about her crying and what goes on with Rob and what she must have dealt with Robert Sr., with you know, first husband, and now with Bruce, it's not so much the business side. And, oh, she's a great manager and she's, you know, a CEO, whatever. She's having to be the mom and the dad in a lot of ways, or at least she perceives that. And remember, there was a show, an episode on this show. I don't remember if it was early this season or late last season, but they brought like a psychologist in to talk to Chris about not being in control of everything and some things you can't control. This must be the most difficult thing for Chris, who wants to control the message everywhere.
Right.
It's Bruce's story. It's not yours. And more than that, you had no control over this. It was going to happen sometime with you or not. And for her to sit there helpless, you know, because she is just always on the ball with everything. You know, every contract, meeting, deal, endorsement, whatever. Easy. This, impossible.
But I didn't feel like in that scene in the kitchen, I didn't feel like she was trying to even handle it like the manager, Chris Wood.
Oh,
like,
no, not at all.
Right. And that, in that case, I was like, wow. Because you're right. I do always expect that and see that. And here I was like, oh my, like, this is her, literally her heart just showing up right here. You know
and,
what I mean?
And really, to her credit, that she didn't handle that like a manager. Because if it was one thing, if she strong-armed it and said, okay, well, we're going to do this as a family. We're going to try to do that. It's not about that. It's about Bruce. And for her to sit there and cry, as heartbreaking as that is, and as much as you don't want anybody to feel like that, and you feel bad for Chris when she goes through that, it's also actually a really great thing for her to do, as weird as that sounds, because it's not her story. It's Bruce's story. She's affected by this. They need to figure this out together.
Well, even
it's his lead. He has to take the lead.
He left. When he walked out of that room, she put her head down on the table, and like that was how the scene ended. And I've never, I don't know if they just never show us the ending of a conversation, things like that, but I've never seen that kind of surrendering or anything from Chris. She's always that strong perspective in there. That was pretty, like, eye-opening for me at that point.
I felt real bad for her.
Yeah, I agree. I do. And she was kind of on the same page with Chloe, just as far as, you know, we're going to be supportive. We're going to love you no matter what. You need to be who you are. We just want you to be happy. That's what being family is about. But just own that truth. And, you know, you're starting to tell the truth in bits and pieces, but just be honest. And then, especially with her, you know, I get maybe not coming, giving every detail to the kids right away, but this is someone who's been your partner for so long, has invested so much time in this relationship, just as much as you have, and that's like the least she deserves. You know?
Yeah.
Where do we go from here with Bruce? I know we have the docuseries. We're not going to drop like, oh, it's time for predictions and do some stupid, like, superficial into this, but like, where do we go from here with Bruce, with maybe this message within the transgender community? I mean, what, knowing as much as we all know about the Kardashians, what do they do moving forward? Because this is a huge opportunity for him, and I think Scott hit the ball on the head. The way you speak, your little speaker circuit or whatever, this totally changes, man. You can go to wherever he goes, if it's schools or outreach groups or whatever, he can do a lot of good in a way that nobody ever really thought he would.
I think the way, where they go is sort of the track that they're on, is just keeping it real to themselves and how they feel, and showing that, not polishing it, not making it a PR statement, showing the real grit, good, bad, positive, negative. That way, when someone else is going through it or another family's going through it, they can watch and relate to those things.
Right.
And I think that's the most important thing. If that's for the audience, for Bruce and the family, I think it's a whole nother, you know, I don't know where you go or how that works.
One of the things that I was really happy he brought up on the special tonight was when we had our after show for the Diane Sawyer, or it wasn't an after show for that, but we did discussed it for probably the entire after show. But I was talking about how, you know, we each individually have our own purpose in this life, and trying to figure out what that is probably the greatest struggle that we'll each individually face, no matter what that struggle is. And he brought up, you know, I've had a great family. I have amazing kids. That's my greatest accomplishment, are my kids and my family, and, you know, and the games and winning all these medals and being the probably debatably the greatest athlete ever. And, you know, we could say that was his purpose in life. Having the kids was his purpose in life. And now he's questioning, you know, maybe this moment in my life, I'm in my 60s, I'm coming to terms with who I actually am. Maybe this is my greatest purpose, because now I can help or try to help people who might be experiencing the same thing, or know someone who is, or are having problems being who they are.
Right.
Just and he brought that up as that's like God, maybe that's God's plan for him. And I think it's amazing that so late in life that he's able to come to terms with
that. Can come to that realization.
And not just, you know, I've made it this far hiding the secret. Maybe I'll just, you know, not use this platform. And I think he has a very strong, powerful platform.
Right. And just like Scott said, you're already a great speaker. So, and you know, he's probably going to speak about this. My only fear, actually, I have a fear about this, is that it's kind of like a big buzz and then it just dies off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like when you get ready to give a speech to a big group of people. You're nervous. It's a big deal. And then you give it, and afterwards you're like, oh, that was so easy. That was done. I'm over with it. So I'm just hoping that the momentum kind of keeps up the conversation and that he continues to do something positive. And I just hope that the show doesn't go towards just being kind of like, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians later down the line.
I think I think it also could be good seeing the opposite, though, and seeing him maybe just be in the show with
normal.
Yeah, and it just being that normal thing while still keeping the conversation. But I think also just seeing, like, life goes on.
I will say, and the three things that I'm thinking of listening to you guys, the first one is Scott's story.
Yeah.
I hope that they look at the reaction to Bruce's story and say, you know what? We deserve it to deal with Scott's story in a more serious way, if that's what he wants. But if his story is going to be on air, we should deal with that story in a more serious way, because that can help a lot of people going through similar things, what Scott's going to. Mm-hmm. This is in a weird way, this is market research for other stories. Deal with the Scott story in a significant way. Rob obviously doesn't want to be in the public eye right now, so that's different. The second one is, and this is going to sound funny, but Sterling, off of what you said, it made me think of this. It's taken Bruce 65 years to figure out who he is. We are all in our 20s.
Yeah.
And on a much smaller level, we're like, God, who are we? What are we going to do with our life? If it's taken Bruce this long and now he's doing it, I watch this in a weird way and say, hey, I'm doing okay. Like, it's okay if I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because this is so central to his identity, and he has no clue. He's trying to figure it out.
And he's still working
through. But I also don't think that, like, diminishes any of his accomplishments
that he has.
Oh, no.
Because everything that's happened to him, and every, you know, secret that he didn't tell, or every medal that he won, or every kid that he had or raised anyway, led him to this moment. And it makes it that more, you know, not that I'm saying that he should, you know, it's good that he kept it a secret this long, like he should, whenever he's comfortable, it's all about him and being comfortable and happy with what the process is.
But
it's all led to this moment, and that's why we're here talking about it. And I think that's really crazy.
All of our moments, whatever they are about, only certain people's will be in the transgender community, like his is. Whatever they are about, all of our moments, all of our finding ourselves, goes on this path. And some of us know it early, and some of us know it late, like Bruce.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong for anyone.
Right. And seeing Bruce do this, it makes me be like, you know what? It's okay if we don't know what we want to do, because what we're going through is so less significant than this.
Right.
It's okay. We're all all right in a weird way.
And we're all learning something from this, and I think that's probably
that is a refreshing thing to know. You know, I turned 23, and I'm like, oh my God, what is this? What am I doing? What is it? And you're panicking. It's like, you know what? Let it ride, let it go, and everything sort of aligns.
And the third one, and this is kind of funny, but I'm serious. I love that this story has come up honestly and authentically, and this is his story, not only for that thing he said during the Diane Sawyer, so many hours of reality TV in mine was the real story. But I love that, you know, so many people bash the Kardashians. Why are they important? Don't cover these people. Now there's a damn good reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now... We don't need anybody, I guess. But now you need this family in the public realm in this way, because they can do a hell of a lot of good.
It makes it all
worth
it.
And we talked about this last week, just how the family in general, there's never going to be...
Never.
I laugh thinking about it, because there's never going to be like a phenomenon like this family is. And I don't honestly think that there'll be another family
The
next time another family comes up like this, it'll be 50 years from now, and the world will be so different, you can't compare
them. It would
be
a whole nother...
Exactly. Yeah. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah. That's just crazy that we're right here witnessing it. We talk about it every week, and we're here.
And there's good and bad. This is good. This is serious. There's also frivolous and bad. I mean,
there's a lot of really dumb stuff that goes on.
We're not deifying these people at all.
No, not at all.
Just from an incredulous perspective across the spectrum, it's like, holy crap.
It's rather ironic in the way that it comes out.
This whole family is just like... They won't go away.
The
wonder. I say that in the most endearing way. Yeah. They will not go away. And now they have a reason to stay, a damn good reason to stay in the public eye and to educate people, not only in specifically with transgender issues, but also what Bruce was saying, tolerance for people, that whole empathy idea that I think a lot of us lack because of the internet or whatever else you want to say. Not a lot of people understand what empathy actually is, and we certainly have our lapses too.
Yeah.
Stuff like this hopefully reminds people. This is important stuff.
Oh, and just about the Kardashians in general, whether we like it or not and whether we want to admit it, we care and we know what they're doing. And people are like, oh my God, they're like, that's so dumb, like blah, blah. Yes, it is. A lot of it is really dumb, but also you know that they were at this place today or they're
so dumb you can name every kid in the family.
Right. Yeah. You watch the show, you watch us, we all care.
Yeah.
We all care.
Whether we want to admit it or not.
I love it. All right, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have today on the About Bruce After Show. If you want to tweet us, we hope you do it. You can comment on YouTube or iTunes, or you can send us tweets. Let's go down the line. Sterling, where can they tweet you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sterling Cates.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Nicholas Grava.
Instagram, Twitter, XOXO Cheska.
And I'm on Twitter at Bobby DeMuro. That's it for us this week. We'll be back normal time next Sunday for another episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.